Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back, I should say, to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. This is part two of a conversation with Alistair Campbell, the UK's number one podcaster, former government spokesman, political journalist. And if you haven't already listened to episode one, I'd encourage you to go back and do so. And if you're already at the end of episode one, sit back, my friends. There's plenty more where that came from. You made your name in politics as an advisor and as a political journalist, unafraid to ask difficult questions or to offer up some very hard to hear advice. But I wondered, what's been the most pertinent advice that's ever been given to you? The stuff that's really made a difference, and which question put to you has stopped you in your tracks?
Oh, God, that's really old.
I feel like I've won some sort of victory that I didn't even know I was trying to win by the fact that you find one of my questions hard. Amazing.
No, I think I find it hard. I mean, look, I can give you the schmaltzy answer to the first one.
Do whatever you right? like. I'll take your schmaltz.
But it was significant. And that was when my dad dropped me off at university, and it was with that line that lots of people use when they're leaving their kids at university, from Hamlet, to thy own self be true.
Ah. That's beautiful.
It must follow as night the day, thy canst not be false to any man. And I can't say...
Is that what your dad said?
He just wrote it on a piece of paper and gave it to me. So I did that with my kids when they went to university as well. And I think that is an amazing piece of, you know, just be true to yourself. And he wasn't... Because, of course, if you're a terrible person, you're being true to yourself. That's not very good. So it was both a piece of advice, but it was also a piece of trust. He was basically saying,
"Do you
trust you if you're true to you?" Right.
Yeah.
So I think that was a kind of piece of life advice. What was the second bit about?
What's the question that somebody's put to you that's made you sort of stop in your tracks and go? I mean, literally, one that's really made you stop and think, and maybe even reroute where you were going, what you were thinking.
I don't think I get that through questions, but I think sometimes I get that through regular criticism.
Right.
So, you know, for example, we've talked about, and maybe it's because I'm older, maybe it's because I'm not on the front line anymore, but I do think at least trying to see there's another point of view, at least thinking, so like, I still get a fair bit of criticism. I get loads on social media. Still go to some of the papers, having a pop every now and then. But what I try and do now, there are the ones that are just easy to get rid of, dismiss. But then within persistent criticism, there might just be a kernel there.
When's that been the case, Alistair?
When?
Yeah, when have you sort of drilled into the fact that actually there is some truth at the heart of this and I need to look at it?
So for example, if I... You know, I think it goes back to the combative thing is that sometimes I'll just go back really, really heavy at something. And then if enough people say, I don't think you should be doing that, or I think that was a bit below you, or, you know, why are you doing that? Then I'll think, yeah, they got a point.
Right. So yeah. You're better at looking at criticism of yourself now and doing something with it, rather than just shouting over the top of it.
No, I think what I've got, in a funny sort of way, I think what I've got better at, look, I think I've often just ignored it. And I think that's very often the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think what I've got better at is actually just not in a sort of conscious way, but just thinking, like when I'm out on my bike, could have a point. I'll think about that. Or reflective about it.
Who do you go to for advice as an advisor yourself?
Fiona, 100%.
Yeah.
And she can be very, very critical of me. I've got a network though. I've got a network of people. It depends what it is. To put it this way, if something's troubling me, mm-hmm. there's a great phrase that Alice Ferguson always used to use: when there is doubt, there is no doubt.
What does that mean?
What it means is if you're constantly worrying that something might be the wrong thing to do,
then it's wrong.
It probably is wrong. If you're just doubting everything, it means actually you don't want to do it. So don't. So a lot of the time I'm advising myself, but I think, you know, with Fiona, it's large things and small things, you know. And then around the place, I've got a kind of network probably of about, my kids are quite important in that. I've got a network, part family, part friends, and it depends what it is. Tony's actually pretty good on, you know, on stuff that's bothering me.
So you can call him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What does he think of your success as a podcaster? I'm curious.
I think, I don't really know. He's been on it.
Yeah. I love the John Major two-parter, by the way.
Well, that's been our most listened to interview by a long way.
Do you know what's... sorry, I'm just sidebarring here and digressing somewhat, but it did make you hanker. I mean, that he was painted as being so grey in the day, wasn't he? You know, the whole spitting image of hello, hello. My God, he talked a lot of sense. You just hanker for a grey day with John Major when you listen to that.
I know. Well, what was really interesting about the reaction to it, again, because you said earlier, we have so many young listeners. For a lot of them, it was like the first time they'd ever really heard him at length.
Yeah.
And they just thought they were just blown away, but couldn't believe his backstory. Couldn't believe his
backstory is fascinating. I mean, like, this is a guy that, I mean, his dad was a Victorian. His dad was an actual Victorian. His dad was born in 18 something or other.
Yeah, no, when he said that, it really brought it home.
Educated. I mean, and then goes on to lead the Tory party and the country. Like, you know, would that happen and could that happen today? I don't know. You asked him that question. It was a really fascinating exchange. Well, how much prep do you do versus Rory for those interviews?
What do you reckon? What's your sense?
I reckon you do absolutely everything. I reckon you went back and read all of his memoirs for a second time. I think you had notes. And I would have done exactly the same, by the way. And I think that Rory does do his homework, but you probably, because there's a sportsman in you, have to do more.
I think I do more. I remember one of the few times we were at the same place. And it wasn't for an interview, it was just for a normal sort of podcast. And I remember he arrived, he said, he just started making notes as he sat down.
What? Oh my God, that's the stuff I have nightmares about, Alistair.
Yeah. But I think that's what the Eton thing gives you.
Confidence.
And also he's got a lot of knowledge. He does say a few things. He does notice that. However, I'm pleased to say, when it comes to factual rebuttal, we've had more directed at him than directed at me.
Have you?
So he does know his stuff, and he's. I think he. No, I'll tell you what I think is interesting is that we both read a lot, but I think he remembers books better than I do. The reason why I have to write things down, I think it's the reason why I've always kept a diary, is because I, to quote Marilyn Monroe, I think in ink. I have to write things down before I commit them to memory.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the podcast we're doing later today, we're going to talk about this BRICS, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa summit this week. And, you know, I could sit and talk to you now about BRICS and what have you, but I will want to sort of check a few things before I get into that. So, yeah, I'll probably do a bit more research.
And you love it, don't you? You love to sit down and explore the experiences of a prime minister. You sound a kid in a sweet shop.
No, or of a country, or of an issue.
Yeah.
You know, we did Miriam González Durantes, you know, a.k.a. McClay. She's out today. And, I mean, I know her really well. I've known her for years. But, you know, you think you know somebody, and then you go and you're doing an interview, so you dig in a bit, and you think, oh, God, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. She grew up just as Franco was kind of fading out, and her dad was a politician. What's that like? You know, and you're into a different kind of, yeah, I do like research. I think, and I also think in journalism, I think, the other thing I try and do with my whole kind of life is to make bits marry up together. So, like, you know, I'm editor at large in the European, I have a column in there every week, and quite often I end up writing about stuff that I've researched for the podcast. Yeah. Not because it's... Because, like, we did Anthony Joshua last week, and...
It was great.
I really enjoyed it, and...
Not often you interview somebody in a pair of shorts and socks, is it? And a vest.
And he was like, you know, so I just literally sat and Googled boxers and politics, and up came this list of boxers who've gone into politics. And, you know, I thought that's more New European than it is interview with Anthony Joshua.
So, yeah.
But
yeah, one hand talks to the other. Well, as it should. Yeah. You're building your own publishing empire, but you are really, because you know you've found platforms where you can have your say, and you don't abuse that by turning up unprepared.
No, correct.
As it should.
Fail to prepare, and you're preparing to fail.
Couldn't agree more.
Benjamin Franklin.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Right, my final question for you. The name of your book is But What Can I Do? But when in life have you asked the same question of yourself, feeling lost at a crossroads, a fork in the road, and what did you do?
Oh, lots of times. This morning when we were walking the dog.
You wake up and go, what can I do? No, come on, you're a man of great routine, I can tell. You cycle, you're fastidious in your habits, you swim every day.
Yeah, but no, this morning we went out and walked the dog and I said to Fiona, what am I doing? What is the point of it? And she said, a bit like you, she said, look, you're presenting the most successful podcast in the country. Isn't that enough for the moment?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
God, her eyes must ache from rolling.
I know. I know it's bad. It's bad when you put it like that. Yeah, I get it. But I think what happens is what I'm doing at the moment will percolate
the next idea
into something else. Yeah.
You're a man that can't stop throwing pennies down the bottom of your own well.
Yeah. Well put, madam.
Thank you. When have you done something that you thought, I'm so glad I did that? Be it going to seek therapy when you struggled with your mental health, packing up the drinking, picking up the cycling, starting the swimming. You know, what are the things that you go, thank God I did that? Because I think often we can forget to look back on the things that we do to become better.
Thank God I went to see Abba Voyage.
Oh, isn't it good? I cried. Did you cry?
I was moved. I was definitely moved.
You didn't cry, though. Was there water coming from your eyes, Alistair?
It was. And I don't know about you, but I found the third time the most moving.
I've only been once. I love your devotion. You're such a funny old stick sometimes, aren't you? Look, your devotion to ABBA is brilliant. I love it. They are a glorious pop band. And that experience, I mean, we talk about AI. There you go.
I know. Wow. Do you know what I did? Second time I went, I did have that worry. I went and I thought, this, because the first time you just go, wow, this is amazing, the technology, blah, blah. Second time I was thinking, hold on, this is so real. Just imagine what the Tories could do with this. Imagine Trump could do to Biden with this.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a part of it that worries you, but no, the music's great. And I'd say, what else? God, I'm dead. I'm glad I did languages at university.
Yeah, you love languages, don't you? How many do you speak?
Only French and German. I'm glad I learned the bagpipes.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got a dog when I didn't want to get a dog.
Yeah? What's a dog brought to your world?
Oh, so much. Grace was the one who made us get a dog. The one that we got, well, she died, but we've now got Sky. And it's really strange. I had a bit of a depressive blip a few weeks. She always knows. It's so weird. Like when I wake up, she's lying there.
She can smell it.
She's definitely more sensitive, yeah.
There is an undeniable joy in dogs, isn't there? The most determined of miseries cannot fail to find joy in a dog.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's got to be the right dog.
Yeah.
I can't have big slobbery dogs. So.
Of course, there's got to be T's and C's attached, Alistair.
Very, very gracious. She's very small and gracious.
So Grace did a good thing there then.
Yeah, totally. And Grace, I mean, and the thing about Grace, you met Grace, and Grace is a massive campaigner as well.
Mm.
That was her first campaign.
The dog.
Where including getting my then boss, the Prime Minister, to phone me and say, I really think you should get Grace a dog because it means so much to her.
You must have been so proud.
And we went over, Fiona and I were away somewhere. Came back and she'd put a post-it inside every drawer in the house.
Wow.
Right. Wants a dog. Yeah.
Are you proud of her for that?
Yeah. We in the end.
And it turns out she was right. It was a good thing for everybody.
Totally. Totally. And I remember when Molly, the first one, died, and all five of us were together. And I can't remember the last time before or since where at that level of intensity, because of course when it's like relatives who've died, humans who've died, there's other members of the family there as well. But this was like literally just the five of us all in bits.
Oh.
Yeah, no, she's definitely right about that. Definitely right. So I'm glad that Grace bullied us into getting a dog. And I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast and bully us into the next thing she wants.
Exactly. As long as it doesn't, like, you know, take the form of a, I don't know, 3-bedroom house in central London or something. I mean, she's going to have seen your download number. She's going to know that there's yeah. gold in them hills. Yeah. As you sit here at 66, I know that you're not happy with where you are, that there's always more that you want to do. But are you at a point in your life where you think that this might be the closest to happy you've ever been?
No. No. No, definitely not.
If your family had to write a TripAdvisor review of you, what would it say?
Well, it would depend on their mood, and it would depend on my mood. I'm conscious of the fact that my mood sometimes can be quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Fiona once said that, you know, how she describes her life with me is never boring. So that's quite good on TripAdvisor, never boring.
Never boring. How would she rate you out of 5?
Some days 1, some days 5. I think she'd say always challenging, never boring, good in a crisis, kind when it suits him, utterly useless around the house.
Totally.
To the point that she gets annoyed now if I even try. but I think overall, I think I do reasonably well. Yeah, I do pretty well.
And if you actually want to hear what some of Alistair's family really think of him, then, well, wrap your ears around this. He was first on the show with his daughter Grace before the rest is politics was even a twinkle in Gary Lineker's eye. Here they are talking about their relationship. And if you like what you hear, don't worry, the full episode's available in our back catalogue. Over to you, Grace. I wondered which facet of each other's personalities would you most like to have for yourself to kind of smooth out your edges or inform better who you are?
Well, I mean, I can answer that immediately. The thing that I really would love to have about my dad is how unaffected he is by people hating him and by, like, you know, trolls and stuff. And, like, when people say shit about him on the street, it genuinely does not bother him. And I wish... You know, I have a good sense of that. Like, I had to, in doing stand-up, you have to accept, like, loads of people aren't going to like you and not everyone's going to love you and all of that. But he, you know, that's something I really try. When I get, like, a hater on Instagram or something, I just think, you know, this wouldn't bother my dad. So, like, let it move out of your head right now.
Is it a bit like, you know, when Christians wear those bracelets to say, what would Jesus do? Is that when you go, what would dad do?
Well, no, it's just I know what he would do. He wouldn't care. He would say to me, shut up. Why have you let one person on the internet's opinion of you affect you? And I think that's a really, really good attitude to have. So that's something I definitely... you know, really admire about him and other stuff. But that's the first thing that pops into my head that I think about quite a lot.
Does it really not bother you? I mean, Alistair, you've said in your response to Tessa Gell, after everything you've been through, you let them say what they like about me. You have to kind of know who you are and look yourself in the eye, right?
You've got to be careful. I mean, I think sometimes, and I think actually this does come through a little bit in the diaries where I get more reflective. If there's a criticism that's coming a lot, I can reflect upon it. And sometimes you have to do that. And you maybe think, yeah, maybe... he or she has got a point. There's a bit, for example, where in this volume where I'm writing about a sort of sense that I'm in danger of losing quite a few important friendships because of certain things that have happened in politics. And I'm sort of reflecting on that. And it's something that I wouldn't maybe admit that I was reflecting on. I'm not going to admit that maybe I went over the top or they went over the top or whatever, but I'm able to kind of adapt according maybe to criticism that's coming my way. And I think it's important to be able to do that. But no, genuinely, if somebody that doesn't know me, I remember once saying that, you know, if I thought my parents thought I was a terrible son and Fiona thought I was, you know, not worth living with, and the kids thought I was a terrible father and my friends thought I wasn't a good friend, that would really bother me. That would really, really, really get to me. But some guy who reads the Daily Mail, you know, doesn't, is a card-carrying member of the Tory party, voted Brexit, you know, doesn't like football, I'm just not going to care. Why would I care what he thinks about me? And I see, I don't think that's, Grace talked earlier about being a mixture of arrogance and insecure. I don't feel that's arrogant, because what it is not allowing, I've got my own moral code, I've got my own framework of values, I know what I believe, and I know that I know whose opinion matters to me. And it's a wide enough range of people for me genuinely not to care what some columnist or internet troll says.
What's the facet of Grace's personality that you would most like?
I think Grace has got an amazing capacity for friendship. I think she's, ever since she's been a little kid, she's had really good friends at every level of her life. And some of them have, you know, stayed the same the whole way through. She's got very, very good friends. And that means you've got a good capacity for friendship. And that's a really, really good quality. I think I've got that, but a lot of them die. And that sort of worries me a bit.
You came on the show with Grace. I mean, what would she say in a TripAdvisor review of you?
Oh, funny. Moody. Bit grouchy, too grouchy at times. Way too noise sensitive. Good advisor when, again, good advisor when it suits them.
Yeah. Terrible patient, slightly over the top in your reactions around hospitals.
Yeah, but she gets that because she's a bit of a hypochondriac as well. So she wouldn't. I don't think she criticised me for that.
It was a competition between the two of you in France or somewhere, wasn't it?
No, she was. No, what that was, she broke her leg and she was in hospital.
That's right.
The French healthcare system being pretty damn good, they had a bet because she was still, you know, not an adult, she was in her teens. They had a bed for a parent in the room, and I had the so I stayed over, and. Grace is groaning and moaning in pain. She claims that. I said, for God's sake, Grace, shut up. I'm trying to sleep. And I'll tell you what, it was one of those beds as well. You know those beds that are curving?
Yeah.
Right? I didn't realise that you could straighten the bed out. With uncomfortable, nice sleep.
That's brilliant. You slept like a figure S.
I did.
Like a number five. What about your sons? Different relationship with them, different kind of review?
Yeah, I think they'd still be good. I mean, a lot of, because we're all three of us obsessed with sport, a lot of our, you know, Grace and Fiona just aren't that interested, so we never really talk about those things. Whereas with the boys, I do talk a lot about sport. I think, again, they'd say, and they're both very into politics as well. But I think they'd say pretty good. I think they'd say that. I think they all know that we're both, Fiona and I, really, really, really care about them, and worry about them, and want, you know, nothing would make us happier than if all three of them are happy at the same time. But it's quite rare that that happens.
I guess it is because it's a numbers game, isn't it? But you are never as
you're never happier than your least happy child.
That's right,
I think that's true. Yeah, definitely, yeah. No, I think we'd do all right. I think at times they find us irritating.
But that's your job.
Yeah. I think they've all had a very different sense of growing up with me as their dad, in the public eye, as it were, and all that, and, you know, attracting a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Grace, I think, has made her very fiery.
Yeah.
Very protective. Funny enough, again, back to the Tyson Fury thing, there was a scene where they were talking to his kids, and Tyson Fury was out with them on the beach at Morecambe on the promenade, and people just, way more than happens to me, but it does happen to me where people just come and talk to you, but everybody come, I can't have a picture, Tyson did that, and they just did a little clip with one of the kids and says, really annoys me. They just come up and talk to him and ask for pictures and ask for autographs. And it's like we're not even there. And I know that the boys at times felt like that. They said it at times, but also I could sense it.
Yeah.
When we go to football matches and, you know, you're literally watching a football match with your kids and people come start talking to you about politics.
Yeah. Or lean across your children or ask them to take a photograph of you with them. Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
There was literally once there was this. I was at this game. This game was ended up in the away, and I can't remember where I was standing next to this guy, and he said, "So this was about. This would have been in the early 90s, right? So the boys were quite small." And this guy said, "Do you remember that game at Leicester?" "What game?" He said, "Remember. Remember, I had a chat with you going into the ground."
That's like when you go on holiday and somebody goes, "Oh, you live in London, you might know my cousin Carol." You're like, "No, not so much." Finally, your dad gave you a pearl of wisdom by way of advice as he dropped you off to start your adult life at university. If your dad had to compile a TripAdvisor review and how far you've come on the back of that advice, what do you hope it might say?
Oh, God, I think I'd hope it would say, because, I mean, he died a couple of decades ago now.
Yeah. He's missed a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah. Is it? Hold on. What did he die? So, bloody hell, yeah. What did he say? I think he was genuinely surprised and quite proud that I did all the stuff I did. I think he'd be really, really pleased that since he died and since my brother died, that I've got really, really got into even more into the bagpipes than I was.
That means so much to a man from, he's so Scottish, your dad, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I think also he'd be...
Was it the Hebrides he's from, Alistair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just he lived on one of the islands, is that right?
Tyree,
yeah.
No, he didn't speak English till he went to school. Spoke Gaelic.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Do either of your kids, any of your kids play?
No, they play any instrument. Bit disappointed by that. But that takes off half a point on their TripAdvisor review. they all identify very much as Scottish.
That's good.
Yeah.
He did that well. The bagpipes have done something.
Yeah. I think the other thing my dad would like, is the fact that even though he wasn't as big a Burnley fan as I am, he would like the fact that I've stayed with that. I think both my parents would like the fact that we do go to Scotland a lot, probably more now than when they were alive. Because I grew up in Yorkshire. They lived
in Leicester.
They lived most of their adult life in England. But, you know, and they both died in England. But we do both feel a very kind of Scottish pull. Mm. So I think they're like that. I think also, well, I know my mum, because she was still alive. I think my mum would be pleased that I've not gone back into it full time.
Yeah.
She didn't like it at all.
I can understand that as a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And possibly a wife, a partner. I know Fiona's not your wife, but yeah, I can understand that too. Yeah. I've loved talking to you. Thank you so much. I grew up reading you, love listening to you. Always an honour to sit and have a conversation with you. Continued success, Alistair. My huge thanks to Alistair, and if you're feeling disillusioned by the state of politics and maybe politically fatigued, then take a look at his new book. It's called But What Can I Do? It's available now wherever you buy your books. It's full of doom and gloom, and then some great suggestions and solutions. And for more talk with political leading figures, head to our back catalogue where you'll find episodes with MPs, David Lammy and Jess Phillips. And we have heaps of episodes with other great podcasters too, like Off Menu's James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Fee Glover and Jane Garvey, Happy Mum, Happy Baby host, Giovanna Fletcher's in there, Simon Mayo, Vicky Patterson, Dr. Alex George, Giles Brandreth and the Reverend Richard Coles, to name but a few.
I'll be back on your feeds on Tuesday with another Something from the Cellar, bringing up three vintage guests for our midweek mini episode. Until then, thanks for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.